Wow, can you guys come to Walport? If you guys have never sung that except for Sunday, that's exceptional. Wow. Pastor told me you'd never sung that song before. Was he kind of put me on? Had you sung it before Sunday? Some of you probably had. Some of you had. What's that? Yeah, we sang it at Walport. Actually, I know the author of this, Jerry Coleman. Actually was a professor when I was at Bronxville as an undergraduate student. And about 5 or 6 years later, he went to seminary. He is an accomplished organist. He actually was working a little bit on his master's in organ. How embarrassing that must be to go to your parish, right? If you're the organist, where you have a person that has almost a master's degree in organ, and he's the preacher. But that's why I love the song, a lot of different children. Our reading today is from Jeremiah 31 to 34, specifically verse 34, but I'll give you the whole context. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when they took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer, and this is the key verse, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. So far the reading. My theme is called Remember Sins No More. I'd like to suggest the title could be When God Forgets. When God Forgets. There's a story about a man who was visiting a cattle ranch. He was fascinated by the farmer's dog. The dog could get the cattle to move every which way, and all the man needed to do was whistle and snap his fingers. The city man said, wow, that is an impressive dog. What's the dog's name? And the man goes, I'm having a problem here. He goes, you know, what is that nice flower that's out there that has thorns on it, typically red and white? Can anybody help me with that? A flower that ladies like, it's red and white? A rose. And he goes, honey, Rose, what's the dog's name? Sometimes we forget things. Any of us relate to that? Any of us relate to that? Forgetting things? I'm almost 60. I can't remember half the time when I had for breakfast, right? What's that? Which day? Exactly. But when God forgets things, it's totally different. When God forgets things like your sin and mine, is that good or bad? That's good stuff, right? When God forgets and says, I wipe away all of your sins. You folks, there's a whiteboard in Walport. Okay, that whiteboard now is very ghosty. It's been used for 20-some years. Arguably, I think some people put permanent markers on and those kinds of things. That's how we forget things. I mean, we wipe them off with markers and squirty stuff, and it still's in our mind. But God's mind is like a perfectly new whiteboard. When you take that eraser and wipe it off, what's left? A whiteboard. Isn't it great at times that God is greater at forgetting than you and I are? How many of us can remember, I think it's still in the newspapers, Dennis the Menace, the comic? Okay. There's this one day, I wasn't Dennis the Menace, but sometimes I acted like Dennis the Menace. Dennis is kneeling by his bedside. And Mom and Dad always prayed with him. And he asked Mom and Dad to depart from the room because it's a special prayer with God. He had broken a window in Mr. Wilson's house. And he gets down here and bended knee and he goes, Dear God, I know you will forgive me because you will forget. But I also didn't want to pray in front of Mom and Dad or Mr. Wilson because what? They won't forget. But that's how God works in our lives, isn't it? When we profess and talk about Jesus Christ during the season of Lent, if you're doing the series C, we see during this period of time where Jesus, last Sunday, the three temptations. You guys have three temptations in the gospel last Sunday? No? Okay. In my church, we did. It was the three temptations. We have Jesus, what? Eat this bread. Up to the pinnacle of the temple. All these things. All that kind of cool stuff. Okay, good. Anybody that knows me more than 30 seconds knows that a 6-foot ladder is about as high as I want to get off the face of the earth. By the time I get to an 8-foot and a 12-foot ladder, that's why I'm a pastor, because I can stay down on the ground. But imagine, if you will, Jesus is taken up to the temple, the pinnacle of the temple, the top of the temple, and Satan says to him, look around, look at all this stuff. I will give you all this stuff because it's given to me. What was the first problem there? It wasn't his to give, was it? It wasn't his to give to start with. But then Jesus says, let's not tempt God. Let's not tempt God. So then it says what? The devil left him for a more opportune time. The fun part about that text, if you read it in the beginning, was it Satan that drove Jesus into the wilderness? No. Who drove Jesus into the wilderness? Was the Spirit of God. God was protecting and presenting and working through Jesus for what was yet to come in his ministry. For what was yet to come in his ministry. Remember your sins no more. Remember your sins no more. How difficult is it to forgive? Sometimes it's easy, but sometimes when we do the same habitual thing, our children, our spouses, other people can kind of get unhappy, can't they? You've done the same thing for the last 35 years. You gonna get it right yet? And what's the line we all say? God's still working on me. I'm trying. And as my parents used to say, yes, you are trying. On my nerves, the last one, right? But how can God not remember our sins? How could he not judge and remember the crime that someone committed? How can God set aside a sin? Because we confess it. And now we, as God's people in the United States and the world around us, now have this unique thing which we like to call unsins. There's some stuff out there which are sins which we want to say are not sins, right? Can you think of any? Our church body, we believe, is what? One woman and one man should get married, right? What's God say? You know, two should become one. Also, if you folks have been watching any of the stuff out there, specifically in New York City, New York State, Virginia, the whole stuff out there with children and abortion, anybody read that stuff that's out there? That literally a child can, before the first breath, be snuffed out. I don't know about you, I find that pretty horrible, even before my grandchild was born. But God tells us he loves us. He tells us, I will remember your sins no more. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come to judge, but has passed from death to life. Today's Wednesday. Monday, I went to OHSU. I have a member of my congregation who had some issues with prostate cancer. Cancer was removed. Lots of complications. That evening, they did some emergency surgery. The doctors and the nurses basically said, call the family in. This is not good. They said, we have done everything we can do. And what do we as Christians at that point in time do? We do. And one person reminded me, James 5:16. The prayer of the righteous avails much, right? How important it is. To this day right now, this man has a phenomenal turnaround. There's going to be another surgery a few hours ago. But how, when we as human beings say it's impossible, who's right there in our corner but our Lord and our Savior, right? How powerful is that? That when nothing else works, we ask for God's forgiveness. When nothing else works, we pray. I had a good friend of mine, and he goes, Pastor, you know, he goes, I've done everything else. I guess prayer can't hurt. I said, you know, some people use prayer like their spare tire. You know, it's the last resort. Maybe we should use it like the steering wheel. Let it drive our lives and drive the car. He is still my best friend in the Dalles. By tradition, he's a Pentecostal. Scary concept, right? They walk the church, they clap, they sing, they jump up and down. They do, from my perspective, crazy stuff. And then they come to my church and they say, Pastor, could you just be a little more alive? But isn't that true? Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we gather around the cross, we gather around that with all kinds of different people, right? Our Catholic brothers, our Baptist brothers, our Assembly of God brothers, and for God's sake, LCMS people, right? How important is it that we as God's people, as brothers and sisters in Christ, can gather together? And I was so pleased to be invited by your pastor and Pastor Lucky to be part of this round robin. How important it is to get to meet and greet different people and to share that message of salvation with other people. I think I'm the new kid on the block. I've only been here about 6 months. But I'm also finding out that with 30-some years in the ministry, I'm not the new kid in the pulpit. I have to respect myself and be good. But isn't that what it is all about? We preach and teach Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through Christ, knowing full well that God does forgive us. God does remember our sins no more. And we think about, for many of us, how were we brought to faith? We were brought to faith, for some of us, through baptism. Mom and dad brought us to the baptismal font, maybe grandparents. I didn't know too much about it. But through simple means of water in the word, my sins, your sins, were washed away. For other folks, about a year and a half ago, I baptized a 77-year-old. That was powerful, folks. That was powerful. In the next year, he did arguably 20 years of ministry. He realized what he had been missing for the previous 70 years of his church. First time I met him, he said, Pastor, I know the walls won't fall in, but I have not been in a church in 50 years. But my wife keeps thinking that I need to come, and you're going to teach me something. I go, really? You haven't been to church? Not for a wedding, not for a funeral. He goes, and truly. The wife's name was Pearl, named after another woman, Aunt Pearl. Aunt Pearl had been praying for this man for 57 years to come to faith in Jesus Christ. 57 years. I said, so Aunt Pearl. Aunt Pearl's like 90-some years of age. I think 97 to be specific. She was there for his baptism. And I said, Aunt Pearl, is this true? And she said, I can't say I pray daily, but at least 4 or 5 times a week, 15 minutes to a half an hour. And I said, is today a good day? You bet. You bet. Well, we didn't know during that 18 months of his doing ministry, he had cancer. And he died rather unexpectedly. Guess who was at the funeral? Aunt Pearl, now at just under 100 years of age. At the reception, I said, what do you think? She goes, I'm so glad I prayed for 57 years. At that point in time, when she prayed for 57 years, I was 56 years of age old. I was younger than she had been praying for this man. Can you call that a prayer warrior? She remembered and asked God to remember this man's sins no more. How important is it for you and I to gather together and to realize what we have as our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer? In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.